The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. Where is the kingdom of God right now? So many people believe so many different things about this subject. Some believe the kingdom is inside them. Others believe the church is the kingdom. And a number of people believe it is already here on this earth at the present time. What does the Bible actually say about this question? Where is the kingdom of God right now? Let's cut through the confusion and false teachings promulgated for centuries and get right to the heart of the matter, the truth about the kingdom. Go get your Bible and let's study this together, and then you can prove it yourself right from your own Bible. Get your Bible and let's turn to Luke chapter 17 and verse 21 to begin with. Luke 17 and verse 21. People will turn to this verse to try to prove that the kingdom of God is inside them. But let's understand what this verse is really saying. Verse 21 of Luke 17, Jesus Christ said this, "Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." We know that the Bible has been translated from the Hebrew for the Old Testament and from the Greek for the New Testament. So sometimes a question will arise from a scripture that has to do with an improper translation, and that's the case right here. The proper translation of Luke 17 and verse 21 is this, "Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is among you, or in your midst." You can check that with any Greek source, the Greek interlinear, or the diaglot, or other translations. And you will find that the proper translation for verse 21 is, "For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst, or among you." And that just means that Jesus Christ was right there with them. He was the representative of the kingdom of God on this earth. He was the personification of what the kingdom of God stands for. He was the ambassador for the kingdom of God on this earth when he came the first time. And he was right there in their midst and among them. And that's why he said, "You're looking at what the kingdom of God is all about. It's right here among you. It's right here in your midst. It's me. I'm here." But he was not saying the kingdom of God is within you. That's a mistranslation. You can't have the kingdom of God within you. Any kingdom has a king, laws, people that it rules over, and has territory within its realm. You don't have people and territory within you. So this is only one example we can go to in the Bible to clearly explain that the kingdom of God is not in you, but you can glimpse what it will be like by studying about the life of Jesus Christ. And those who were alive when he was alive had the representative of the kingdom of God in their midst or among them. Let's go to another scripture on this subject. Let's turn to John chapter 3 and verse 3. John 3 and verse 3. Jesus Christ said this to Nicodemus. Verse 3 of John 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So those who believe that the church is the kingdom have to disregard what Jesus Christ is saying here, because you can see the church, you can see the people that make up the church, and you can see the building where the people meet. So therefore, how can it be the kingdom of God? Continuing, verse 4, "Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Well, you can enter into the church. You can enter in among the people of the church. You can enter into the building. But you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you are resurrected, unless you're born again, unless you're born from flesh to spirit. And you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again, unless you're born from flesh into spirit, unless you are resurrected. Continuing now, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, this matter of being born again and still being a human being is not biblical. When we're born again, we are resurrected from flesh to spirit. We become spirit beings at the resurrection. That's when we can see the kingdom, and that's when we enter into the kingdom. It can't be the church. Verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth or wishes, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now you can have God's Holy Spirit, and you don't move around like the wind, invisible and undetected. When it says everyone that is born of the Spirit, it's talking about becoming a spirit being. When you're born of the flesh, you're flesh. When you're born of the Spirit, you're spirit. It's talking about the resurrection. And that's when you can see the kingdom of God, and that's when you can enter into the kingdom. But as a physical human being, you can see the church, and you can enter into the church. So the kingdom cannot be the church. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 23. Matthew 24 and verse 23. Jesus Christ was talking about the end of the world, as he says here in verse 3. And so that's the time frame. Keep that in mind as we read verse 23 of Matthew 24. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Please keep that in mind. You can have no higher authority than that. Verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. So therefore, if he's not in those places, then the kingdom is not in those places. If he is not here already, then the kingdom is not here already. And he's certainly not here yet. So the kingdom is certainly not here yet. It is not right now on this earth. If it were already here on this earth, the king would already be here on this earth. The kingdom is where the king is. And he's saying right here, when they tell you he's out in the desert or he's in the secret chambers, don't you believe it. That's not true. And then he goes on to tell us what it's going to be like when he returns again and he brings his kingdom with him. Notice here in verse 27 of Matthew 24. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's a dramatic, powerful thing if you've seen lightning flash from one horizon to the other. And it's going to be a dramatic, powerful thing when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. That's when he'll bring his kingdom with him. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, as a little side discussion here, that pretty well does away with the false teaching of the secret rapture, doesn't it? When you really get into a thorough study of the false teaching of the secret rapture, you cannot reconcile that with what the scriptures say about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and here's an example where it doesn't add up. He doesn't come back secretly and rapture his church off to heaven. When he comes back again, it says right here in verse 30, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that's when the kingdom of God is going to be brought back to this earth and established here with Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. So the kingdom is not on this earth now any more than the king is on this earth now. But he's coming back soon, and he will bring his kingdom, and he will establish it on this earth at that time. Now, when he does come back, and soon, and sets up his kingdom, how will you know it? How will anybody know it? Well, you and everybody else will know when the kingdom of God is set up on this earth. And you'll know where it is. It'll be on this earth where the King, Jesus Christ, is. Now, here's some scriptures in the Bible that absolutely nail that down and prove it. There are so many scriptures we could go to, but with limited time, we'll just go to these. Turn in your Bible and read it with your own eyes. Turn with me to Zechariah 14 and verse 3. This has not happened yet, so it's going to happen in the future. This is not an allegory. This is not a metaphor. This is not a nice-sounding Jewish song. This is the inspired Word of God, and we believe it or we don't believe it. If we believe it, it's literal, and here's what it says. Verse 3, Zechariah 14. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. See, when he comes again, he's going to come as a conquering king and warrior because the earth will be in rebellion toward him and they will fight him at his coming and, of course, they're going to lose. Verse 4, speaking of the Lord, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave or split in the midst thereof or split in two, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. You can go over there right now, and this hasn't happened yet, to the Mount of Olives. I've been there twice. It's right there. But it's going to happen. And when it happens, the whole earth will know about it. And who will be there? Jesus Christ. And what will he do? Set up his kingdom. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. Zechariah 14. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, or the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the Hinder Sea, or the western sea, the Mediterranean Sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And look at this, verse 9 of Zechariah 14. Yet to come, but probably sooner than we think. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That hasn't happened yet. But it's going to happen. And where the king is where the kingdom will be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. You can be sure that when that tremendous event takes place, you'll know where the kingdom is, and you'll know how it's going to be set up. Jesus Christ will be the king, and he will establish the kingdom and his government, and he will begin to rule the earth and turn everything around from bad to good. Believe me, everyone will know it. The Bible makes that clear. It's not a secret. It's not hidden. It's not confusing or vague or hard to understand. All we have to do is just read God's word and believe what it says. It says what it means and means what it says. Now, here's the question. What does it actually say? Check the verses we're going through here today and you'll see what it actually says about this subject of the kingdom of God, where it is, and how it's going to be established on this earth. Let's notice over here in Isaiah chapter 11. Just look at this tremendous picture of what's coming in the future. All true, all absolutely backed up by the power of Almighty God himself. So it can't be stopped, whether people believe it or not, whether people try to keep it from happening or not, whether people totally ignore it or not. This is true. This is going to take place because God says so, and he's going to see to it, and he's going to back it up, and he's going to bring it about. Notice here in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6, it describes the time when the kingdom will be established on this earth, led by and ruled by the king himself, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, Isaiah 11, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. We know this has never been done before. We know it's not happening now, but it will take place in the future. There will be complete peace, joy, happiness. Violence will be a thing of the past. Ugly hatred and crime and viciousness will be gone. And we will have this fantastic, beautiful, wonderful world tomorrow. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed or graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp or the cobra, And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den or the viper's den. Won't be bitten, won't be harmed, won't be injured at all. Be a different world altogether. Verse 9. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth is certainly not full of the knowledge of the Lord right now. You can look into any nation, anywhere on the globe, and you will not see that it is full of the knowledge of the Lord right now. Some people know about Christ. Many people don't. And even more people don't even care. He's not even real to them, and he's certainly not a part of their life. But the time is coming when the whole earth will be covered with the knowledge of the Lord as the ocean beds are covered with water, and they will care, and they will listen, and they will respond and obey and be blessed and live life the way it should have been lived all along. Because it's centered around Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, which is going to be on this earth. Verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. So you take this in context, it's clearly talking about Jesus Christ, and it's clearly talking about the world tomorrow when the kingdom of God will be established on this earth under the leadership and guidance and blessing and direction of the King. Everything that starts taking place then will leave no doubt in anybody's mind that the King is back and his kingdom is established on this earth. Now, we're right close to another verse that makes this plain, so let's go there. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. One of the most tremendous verses you will find anywhere in the Bible. And one of the most important things any of us can do is prove that God actually does exist, and you can do that. And then prove that the Bible really is inspired of him, and you can do that. And once you've done that, then when you read these verses, they come alive. They're real. They're not pie-in-the-sky wishful thinking. We're not reading about something that is just coming from the imagination of somebody writing this down years ago, and it's just the opinion of the author of this book. These are the inspired words of Almighty God telling us what he's going to do in the future when he establishes his kingdom on this earth. And this is the great spirit being that will lead that kingdom. Let's read about him right here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the kingdom of God is going to be ruled by the government of God, and it's going to be a loving, kind, but firm and powerful government, and it'll be just in every way. Corruption and evil and injustice will be a thing of the past. And his name, speaking of the King, Jesus Christ, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One of the hallmarks of the kingdom of God being established on this earth is peace. The exact opposite to what we have now, which is war. War and violence and crime and hostility among people and among nations will be a thing of the past in the kingdom of God. All of that will be replaced by peace and tranquility and joy and happiness because the Prince of Peace will be here and be in charge. Verse 7, Isaiah 9, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So it's going to be a wonderful time, and this is actually the good news or the gospel of the kingdom of God. What we're reading about right here is what God prophesies will be coming in the near future when he establishes his kingdom on this earth under the leadership of the King, Jesus Christ. We can take hope in this because it's true. We can look past all of the troubles and pain and sorrow we're having now and keep going so that one day we can be there when this happens. Right there in the kingdom of God, under the leadership of Jesus Christ, led by him through the government that he will establish on this earth. A government of peace, a government of justice, a government of tremendous productivity for the good of everyone. There will be boundless prosperity, nothing but robust health, and the abundant way of life. Let's turn to one other passage that gets into even more detail about what it's going to be like when the kingdom is on this earth and everybody will know it. There'll be no doubt, there'll be no question. Let's turn over here to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Not talking about the past, it's talking about the future. Not talking about right now, it's talking about what's coming. Just read it right here in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass. There can only be one time that can correctly be called the last days. And that's when everything starts winding down in terms of mankind's way of doing things on this earth and is replaced by God's way of doing things on this earth. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. There's going to be people in the kingdom of God. There's going to be people in the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, led by the kingdom of God and taken care of by the kingdom or family of God and government of God. Verse 2, Micah 4. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. And we will have a law-abiding civilization filled with happy people who follow God's laws and do it from the heart. And those laws are love. They are right. They are good. They produce fantastic results. They're not harsh and evil and bondage at all. Verse 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Not the opposite, beating their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. That's going to be reversed in the kingdom of God. Implements of war will be turned into implements of cultivation and building and developing wonderful cities and towns and farms and a fantastic civilization led by Jesus Christ and guided by the laws of God. Neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. That's a different way of life. That's talking about something that's never happened before, but it's going to happen. That's describing the kingdom of God on this earth led by the king. And for 1,000 years, people learning about him, obeying him, living according to his ways, and reaping the tremendous benefit. Neighbor loving neighbor, city and town and nation getting along like family, building and developing and learning and growing and experiencing the abundant life that gets better and better with each passing year. That's what that's describing here in Micah 4. So the kingdom of God is in heaven right now, where the soon coming king is, Jesus Christ. But that same king will be bringing that same kingdom back to this earth soon, and he will establish it here forever. That is when everything and everybody changes for the better, forever. That is the gospel. That is the good news of the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us, with all of this in mind, needs to make sure that we're following the instructions our Savior and soon coming King Jesus Christ gave us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's turn there and read it together, and let's examine whether or not we're following his instructions in this matter. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. As you might remember, his disciples came to him and asked him to teach them to pray. And so he's showing them how not to pray, and now we read where he's showing them how to pray. This is an outline to follow in praying to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, and that's what he's talking about here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, in this way, doesn't mean you have to say these exact words, but this is how to pray to the Father in heaven. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one, Satan the devil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now what I wanted to focus on, and what I hope you caught, is right here in verse 10. Jesus Christ said, pray this, thy kingdom come. That means it hasn't come yet. That means when it does come, it's going to change everything. Here's how it's going to change everything. Verse 10, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Every human being will follow God's way, will live according to his will, will keep his law, will worship him, and will be blessed beyond words. There won't even be room enough to receive all the blessings that will be poured out on every human being in the world tomorrow under the rulership of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Because God's will be done on this earth just as it's being done in heaven, which means it's followed 100% in heaven. And his will be followed 100% on earth, the same way it is in heaven. So when's the last time you've prayed this in your prayer? Will you start doing so? I hope so. Christ said it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So the truth about the kingdom of God, where it is now, when it will come back to this earth, and what will happen when it's established on this earth, led by the King, Jesus Christ, is truly good news. It's really inspiring. It clears up a whole lot of misconceptions, and it answers a whole lot of questions about the subject of the kingdom of God. The truth does. And where's the truth? It's right here in the Bible, God's Word. We just need to open it up, read it, take it for what it says, believe it, and conduct our lives accordingly. You can learn more about this wonderful subject of the coming kingdom of God by requesting our free CD about Is Heaven Our Reward? And God's Kingdom Changes Everything. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. Just send your request to Enduring Church of God, Post Office Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. You can also call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.